Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us. I'm Rhonda McBride. Between the heavy rains and the super saturated snow, this has not been an easy winter for anyone. But what about our feathered friends? How are they faring? And are they finding enough to eat? That's the topic of this month's Juno Audubon Society lecture coming up this Thursday. And joining us, Brenda Wright, Program Manager for the Juno Audubon Society. Brenda, the birds have been subjected to just about every kind of weather extreme. I can imagine it must be pretty hard on them.
Yeah, you can't help express sympathy for them when it's so cold for yourself that it's very uncomfortable. You can't put on enough layers. So how are those little guys doing? They're warm-blooded too, just like us.
How many different species of birds do we have that winter over?
You know, normally there's somewhere between 70 and 75. Some birds come here especially because our tides open up our wetlands every day, twice a day. And for them, open wetlands means there's a smorgasbord of food available for them. That's why we get so many of the ducks, the ones that go away from here all summer to nest somewhere else. They come here for winter because they don't have to go farther south to find a good supply of food. And the tides are nice enough to open it up for them.
Has it been pretty tough for some species of birds this winter between the extreme rains and the extreme cold?
You know, that's going to be really hard to tell. The really nice thing is our topography here is so complex that even when it's blowing a gale, there's some place you can get out of the gale and have a little bit of a comfort zone. And so for them, that's the most important thing. If we can find a place to weather out the storm and find food during the lulls, then we're okay.
Let's talk about this last bunch of heavy rain that we had. What did the birds do during that time?
Well, luckily, about half of them are ducks, and so they're not waterproof at all. And I'm sure if you've driven down Eagan Highway, you've seen the eagles are spread wing trying to dry themselves, even if it's still raining. But the ducks are luckily they're a little bit more waterproof. They're a little bit more oily. They have some glands that they can preen, so they can shed water really easily. The others often have to find a little bit more shelter. But we have great big huge trees with lots and lots of moss, and so you can actually get a nice little campground in a big thick clump of moss and stay pretty dry.
When it gets extremely cold, what kind of impact does that have on the birds?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's when they have to eat more food. For that means you have to be able to get to food. And so the ones that are super smart, like chickadees or something like that, they store food everywhere forever. And then when it gets tough and it's really cold, they need some food right now. Well, they just go to one of their caches and find it. And that's because their brain is so big, even if they're so tiny.
So let's talk about chickadees and how they cache their food. What's an example of what they might do? And then I have to wonder, when we get heavy snow, can they get to their caches?
Well, that's the most remarkable thing about them. They like to hide a small bunch of things all in the same place, but they have to scoot around really fast so nobody else can see where they're going. But they often put it in tree crevices or in bark of other trees. And it's not on the ground. They're not ground birds. So if they cache, just like some woodpeckers, they put it in a place where you can still get it when there's heavy snow on the ground.
So do they have to compete with squirrels and chipmunks?
Well, luckily for us, our squirrels are really good cachers themselves. I'm sure if you've been walking around the woods anytime, you've seen those huge, like 2 feet tall sometimes, piles of spruce and hemlock cones. And other birds take advantage of that because the squirrels have made that cache. The squirrels actually sleep. They love to sleep for 2 or 3 days when the weather's nasty. And then they just jump back out and go down and get to their cache. And they dig it all up out of the frozen stuff and make it exposed to birds. So that's a little bit of help for the birds.
Interesting that they are helping out the birds there. So this coming Thursday, you're going to do a complete focus on how birds get through the winter. So how are you going to do this presentation?
Well, it's going to be on Zoom, unfortunately, but still. And we have pictures donated from a whole bunch of different photographers in Juneau. and they're all identified. And as we talk about the different types of bird feeding, you know, the ones that are vegetarians or surface feeders, the ones that eat other birds, the ones that eat meat some, or something like a raven. Then if a raven doesn't eat something, then it's totally inedible. So we all know that about ravens. And so we're going to just catalog them into the types of food they eat and where they find it, and show videos and tell which birds, and they will show them all in winter plumage. So that'll be easier for people to go out and look at the birds and understand that they don't look quite the same in winter as they do in summer.
Well, we tend to focus on birds during migration because we get to see a lot of new birds come through. But what is it about those winter birds?
Winter birds and the birds that live with us year round have always been my favorite because they're willing to put up with everything that we do. The dark, the rain, the cold, the snow, and they're successful at it. So it's great to see them and great to be able to be around them all winter and enjoy the fact that we have that many different species here in winter.
So you mentioned that you have a lot of local photographers contributing their glimpses of birds feeding during the winter, sheltering during the winter. What do you think that people are going to enjoy the most seeing?
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to say. All these photographers are so generous. They just allow us to use their photos. But some of the ones that are not quite appropriate for winter feeding is when the woodpeckers go on the hummingbird feeders in the summertime. It looks pretty strange to see a woodpecker on a hummingbird feeder, so I had to put it in there.
What do you think are going to be some of the highlights of the photos and videos that people will really enjoy seeing?
Well, I think they'll truly enjoy Bob Armstrong's videos. He's amazingly good at capturing over quite a few hours, a few seconds of really interesting ability of the birds to find food in winter. And I can't express my thanks more to Bob Armstrong. He has the most amazing videos, and you can see clearly what the birds are eating and at what low tide or at high tide or frozen water. He's a great videographer, and he has a wonderful webpage called Nature Bob, and he loves to share that stuff. He loves to share it with everyone, so you really need to check it out. It's beautiful pictures, and it's not just birds. It's anything that's in nature. Bob's quite the wide-minded person.
And so what are some of the things that we might be surprised to find out?
Well, for me, I didn't know this. Our great blue herons that sometimes stay all winter with us, not a lot of them, but a few, they have to go somewhere else because the fresh water has been frozen lately. I'm sure you've noticed. And so they go to the saltwater shore or to the little pools, and they eat sticklebacks. A huge stickleback is just a few inches long. So you can imagine how many of those tiny fish that a heron is going to have to capture. And Bob's done a wonderful video that shows the determination and the ability of the heron to capture that prey.
So that has to take a lot of dedication on the part of Juno birders to deal with the weather, whatever it may be, from pounding rain to freezing cold. So what does that say about all the photographers contributing their photos of this look at birds in the wintertime?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, if you try hard enough, sometimes you can find sunshine somewhere in Juneau on any given nasty day. So you just have to keep looking.
You are so optimistic. I guess maybe that's the outlook of a birder, right? You have to always be hopeful. What about the quantity of food that these birds eat? Because I've heard that some of the smaller birds eat way more than their weight.
Yeah, the ones that survive best with us in winter do change part of their diet over to protein, into the small insects. And that's one of the fun things too, because even though the water is quite cold, if it's open, there's still a lot of invertebrates in there. And Bob has another great video to show us that. We don't realize how many shorebirds actually live with us in winter. They have quite large flocks, you know, 50 to 100 birds, and they're dedicated to the shoreline. It's just amazing after you've seen something like Bob's video of them chowing down on barnacles and things like that, you can walk along the shore and see exactly where they've been.
So they're eating things we might not even imagine.
Yep. And they're really enjoying it too, you can tell. And because it is winter, some of these pictures are just amazingly where the birds are fluffed out to the max. They look like little round tennis balls.
So I know we haven't had a chance to talk with you on a regular basis like we do in the summer about bird watching opportunities, but as we get more daylight, people will probably be more interested in trying to find birds. What do you recommend for February and March?
I'm glad you asked that question, because just coming up just another week after the meeting on the 18th is the Great Backyard Bird Count. And that goes from midnight to midnight. Anything you hear or see, you could add to citizen science. It's really fun. You know, with COVID, we don't do it as a group, but you can still share it on eBird, and we'll all know the best things that have been seen in town and go look for them ourselves.
And so what do you expect to be seen?
Well, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the black scoter. They're so uncommon here, but it would be really, really fun to see the goshawk too, because they do come out where we can see them sometimes when it's cold, and then their prey is hanging in the sunshine.
This Thursday's presentation, how do we go and see it since it's virtual?
Okay. Yes, the Zoom address will be both on our webpage, Juneau Audubon Society, and on Facebook. And we hope you can join us, because it's just a great story to see all these great pictures in Bob's videos.
And that's at what time on Thursday?
This starts at 7 p.m.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much, Brenda Wright, for sharing with us what we can expect for this Thursday's Juneau Audubon Society presentation.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. Appreciate it.
Support for Juneau Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klingit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.